Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. It's good to be with you all once again, and I praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love to each one of us. Our opening song is Revive Us Again. And the lyrics to this beautiful hymn can be found on our website at lightministries.com in the home church section under music and then under hymns. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. For Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has brought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer to tonight's service. And precious Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus. And we ask for thy presence to be with us. We give you full control of this meeting and of our hearts. And please dwell with us and bless us in our fellowship tonight. Dear Savior, we ask that thy presence be here. Please dispel all darkness in our hearts. Fill our hearts with thy love. And indeed, kindle us. And work within us a transformation from self to righteousness. Dear Spirit, we also ask that your presence will be here with us to lead and guide us into all truth. Continue to transform us from sin to righteousness, from darkness to light, and indeed firmly plant our feet on the rock Christ Jesus, and allow His truth, His law, His word to be so firmly planted within us that it indeed becomes the guide of our lives. And thank You so much for doing so. Father, we pray that You'll be with all of those requesting prayers, both known and unknown. And we thank You so very much for hearing and answering each one according to Thy perfect will. Thank You that heaven's a day sooner. The great controversy is a day closer to being ended. And we're a day nearer the coming of our Lord in the clouds of heaven. Thank You for hearing and answering this prayer, and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome, one and all. I pray that the Lord has been blessing you in the first part of this week, and I pray that He will continue to richly bless you and bring you safely to another Sabbath day, just a couple days away. Indeed, looking forward to it. We're continuing in our study book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 2 and verse 18. And we left off last time with individuals that had been deceived into believing that after Christ died on the cross, they were to continue with the practices of the old covenant, that they were to keep the feast days, that they were to partake of the sacrifices and etc., that they were to be circumcised in the flesh. And they believed these old covenant rituals and practices were to be part of the new covenant Christian practice. And Paul was very clear that all of these things had been done away with, and that we had freedom in Christ. The feast days and the sacrifices and the priesthood and all the ritual practices and so on were shadows that pointed forward to the Lord God, Michael, becoming Jesus Christ in the flesh and beginning His ministry. They were all shadows pointing forward to Christ. And when He came, and when He fulfilled all things and died on the cross and was resurrected on Sunday morning, the third day, the New Testament was brought in and established upon much better promises than the old. And so those that go back to keeping the feast days and circumcision in the flesh, believing that it is commandments in the new covenant, are actually rejecting that Christ has already come as the Messiah, because they're pointing forward to a time when the Messiah would come and fulfill those things. And we definitely do not want to be antichrist in these last days, but we want to be for Christ in all things. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 18. Let no man beguile you or deceive you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, as you casually read this, it almost sounds like that Paul was admonishing the Colossians, and of course the New Covenant Christians, New Testament Christians, that there's a reward that God will give you in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. But are we to worship angels? The answer is no. You look in chapter 1 of the Revelation, and it talks about Christ sending his angel to reveal to John things that must shortly come to pass and also reveal the future. And then as you continue through Revelation, John falls down to worship the angel that revealed these things to him. And the angel says, no, don't worship me, worship God. I am of your fellow brethren that do the bidding of God. So we're not to worship angels. So then this passage is not Paul telling us that we need to worship angels. But Paul here is continuing his warning. Remember the verses before verse 18, there were individuals coming in trying to deceive God's people and to have them go back into the old covenant practices, which would be a denial of Christ in the new covenant. So Paul here is continuing his warning. Let no man or woman beguile you or deceive you by promising you a reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. So there's going to be individuals coming to us saying that you need to voluntarily humiliate yourself. You need to worship angels. And those that are doing this are intruding into things which they have not seen. They're puffed up in their fleshly minds, believing that God has revealed to them some special knowledge and truth that is necessary to spread around the world in order to bring about the end of this earth's history. And are we not seeing the same things taking place today? Are not individuals coming in saying that God has given them new light and this light must be obeyed, and if the majority of people would follow it, it would bring about the end of this world? Many people believed that the Mayan calendar in 2012, December 23, I think it was going to be the end of the world, and you needed to study into that particular paganistic belief system in order to be prepared for the new age. But it was all a big fallacy. There's TV evangelists that are proclaiming that Christ is going to come. Some said, Harold Camping, I believe it was, had it back in the early 2000s, and then again a little bit later. Christ hasn't yet come. Many people are proclaiming the 7-year tribulation connected with the rapture, and you have to study into those things. This is new light. Other people, especially among the remnant, are proclaiming that you need to pronounce the Hebrew variation or the Hebrew pronunciation of God's literal name in order to be saved. But dear ones, we have the messages, the first, second, and third angels' messages, including the fourth, that are going to bring about the second coming. We don't need all these other so-called new doctrines in order to be prepared for Christ's soon return. We already have the truths. So then don't let anyone beguile you by claiming that God is going to specifically reward you by doing these other things that are not found in God's inspired word. We see nowhere in the Bible or the spirit of prophecy that we're to be worshiping angels. And yet, people were claiming that very thing as a doctrine in Paul's day. Let no one beguile you or deceive you that you have to voluntarily humiliate yourself in order to bring about God's pleasure and delight. So there's no need to climb up the stairs to a holy shrine on your knees to show voluntary humiliation or humility. You don't need to do that. You don't need to perform any type of work in order to bring about your justification. How you bring about justification and forgiving of your past sins is by going directly to Jesus Christ and asking Him His forgiveness. There's no work that you do in order to obtain that blessed gift. So don't let anyone beguile you that you have to take a cat of nine tails and flay your back to show that you're really humble. You don't have to kiss the Pope's ring. You don't have to visit a holy temple and touch the foot of some statue. You don't have to do any of that. What you have to do is go directly to Jesus Christ for cleansing, for forgiveness. And He will do it for you. So Paul here says, don't let anyone deceive you that you're going to be rewarded by God when you voluntarily humiliate yourself in all these various ways, or when you worship angels, because they're leading you astray. They're leading you away from Jesus Christ. And the devil is a mastermind at leading people away from Christ. The devil leads people to believe that before you can come to Christ and become part of His body, you have to join some church. Thus, the church now is between you and Christ. Thus, you've been led away from Christ. That's what was taking place here with the Colossians. People were coming in saying you have to do some act of humility before you can come to Christ. Or you have to worship the angels and they will then lead you to Christ. So it's like you need a middle person before you can get to the middleman. That's not true at all. But we have the very same deceptions taking place today. people have been taught that the Virgin Mary is in heaven. And because she's the mother of Christ, well, Christ will never refuse his mother anything. So instead of going directly to Christ with your petitions, you instead go to Mary, and then Mary will take your petitions to Christ. Thus, you've been led away from the Savior. You've been beguiled, deceived, misled. Others are taught that you can't have your sins forgiven unless you go to a priest, because the priest is in the place of Christ. And so when you go to the priest and confess your sins, he then, in the place of Christ, can forgive you these sins. Thus you've been led away from Christ. You've been beguiled. But yet multitudes believe that they cannot go directly to the Savior without first going to a priest, or praying to some statue, or praying to some saint, or praying to Mary. They've been beguiled. So Paul here is warning every New Testament Christian to not be led away from Christ, but to go directly to him, and you will indeed receive a rich blessing and reward. So you don't have to do some big thing in order to please God. You don't have to worship any other entity except God and Christ. There is no new light that leads you away from the Savior to some church, to some person, to some synagogue or shrine. So go directly to Christ, and he will indeed bless you immensely. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions before we continue?
Good evening, everyone. I just, I'm so glad to be here with you all tonight. And, everything you were saying, Brother Robert, well, that's what my family does. Being true Roman Catholics, they wear a little, thank you. It's good to be here. Very good. They wear little medallions of Mary around their neck. And my mother was over on a Sunday recently. We had her over after she'd had a church service, and she had something coming out from her neck, and it looked like a little attachment to her under her shirt. And I was starting to pull it out, and I realized then it was a little rope, and it was one of those little things that, you know, if you die wearing this scapular of Mary or whatever it is. And I had never seen that on her before, but she had it on that day, kind of tucked into her shirt. And anyway, so they do all of those things. And but when I did have opportunity to witness to my mom last week, I did say to her what, you know, you'd been talking about, which I had never quite thought of it that way, that her church was what she trusted in. You know, Mom, you keep saying you got your faith in your church, because she was saying, I belong to the true church. This is the church, and this is what I believe in. This is where I, you know, trust. And so I was able to say, I guess because we've been talking about it, but Mom, the Bible says put your faith in Christ, not in his church. And so anyway, these messages, you know, they're just so timely and helpful. And I want to say too that yesterday afternoon, the Lord clearly opened another door with my eldest sister, Connie. And I was able to give her all of the three angels' messages, the whole spirit of prophecy, tell her everything. And at first she kind of bristled and said some things. And why do I keep telling her, you know, things? Because through the years I have told her things, but I told her the Lord put it upon my heart that I needed to tell her this message, and that while she may not believe it now, when it comes to pass, if she's still alive, God can work on it and change her heart about everything. And, you know, I just said, you just don't know, Connie, but anyway, lots of things that the Lord gave me to say. And I'm just so thankful that he's just opening these doors with, I hope to speak privately with each one. But it's a real blessing and also a relief because they need to know this. So of course I'm going to be asking for prayer for Connie. And then also, my husband and I are having a baby shower for our son and his wife this Sunday. And the reason that I asked my husband after much prayer if we could do this is because I knew if a relative or anyone else did it, it would be on a Sabbath and I would not be able to go. So not that I would be, you know, totally heartbroken, but of course I would like to go and I want to show them that I love them. But so I asked my husband if we could do it Sunday. So it is this Sunday. And I just would like to ask you all to pray for me that, you know, in these preparations, which I've been doing, and I've been really seeking to rest in the Lord and to be led of him in my preparations and not to let my heart get rushed or get into any kind of, you know, how I have tended to do in the past with these kind of things, because I'm pretty much doing it by myself. But it's just the Lord's grace has helped me so much to really rest in this, and then have to set it all aside, you know, come Friday, do the few things that I'll need to do, and then prepare our meals for, you know, preparation day, and then I'm asking the Lord to help me just put it all out of my mind and have a perfect Sabbath, and then pick up what I need to do Sunday morning before the event that begins at 1 on Sunday afternoon. So any thoughts you all might have about that, any suggestions that the Lord has given the grace, but anything you might want to say about it, I'd like to hear. And I appreciate very much your prayers. And you're all in my prayers, too.
Well, amen. Amen. And praise the Lord that you're able to share with Connie so much. And even though she may have bristled at some things, the seeds of truth were planted. And at least at this point, she didn't refuse it. So that's a great blessing. And I don't know that I can share anything that you don't already know, dear sister, but we will indeed be keeping you in prayer, and also all of those who come to the shower in prayer, that the Lord will indeed allow you to share some things, or perhaps just in your life and actions reveal Christ to them, and thus, you know, what they may have heard will not be verified by your life, words, and actions, but that prejudice can be undone. So, you know, God will lead you in exactly what to do, and you can be a missionary for God without sharing any of the truth. Just your life, your words, and actions can reveal the truth to others. So we will indeed be keeping that in prayer, and I know that the Holy Spirit will be with you and will lead you in exactly what you're to do and not to do. So praise God. Praise God. And I pray that Connie will indeed take some time to study further. Amen. Amen. A calm and joyful spirit. That can go a long way. So Paul, is warning the Christians in the New Testament to beware of individuals coming in and claiming that God will reward you by doing some humiliating practice or worshiping angels or anything that will lead you from going directly to Christ as your Savior. Verse 19. And not holding the head, or in other words, not clinging to Christ, but instead clinging to these voluntary humiliating practices or clinging to the worshiping of angels in order to get to Christ. So they're not holding on to Christ, the head, continuing, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. So then if you go anywhere except to the head, anywhere except to Christ, then you will not increase with the increase of God. So it will be just the opposite. You will decrease. You will not be blessed by God. You will not be nourished. But instead, you'll be in a famine for the Word of God. So all of these other doctrines, all of these other beliefs and teachings are just custom and tradition. They're the commandments of men. They're not the commandments of God. They lead away from Christ. They don't lead to Christ. They lead away from Him. Verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. So if we're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, from the things of the world, if we're dead with Christ, then why, Paul says, are you subject to ordinances, the commandments and doctrines of men that deal with abstaining from certain foods, not touching certain things, not handling other things? All because of the commandments of some individual's mind. You have to avoid all fruits on a Thursday, and this will please God. This voluntary humility, humiliation, this voluntary refraining from all fruit on Thursday will in some way bring God's blessing to you. So Paul says, if you're dead with Christ, then why are you now brought into bondage by all of these other doctrines of men, these other ordinances? Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So Paul says to refrain from touching or tasting or handling certain things. You know, you are bringing your body into control, but it does nothing to bring you closer to Christ. you're manifesting your willpower, but it's not bringing you closer to God. The reason is, you won't find anywhere in the scriptures that says you have to avoid certain foods on Thursday. Now, you will find principles dealing with health that abstaining from pork, abstaining from crustaceans, certain insects, etc., will help you maintain your health and will not bring disease into your body. But all of this other will worship by voluntary humiliating practices will not bring you closer to God. So don't be brought back into bondage in the commandments and doctrines of men, but remain free in Jesus Christ, who is your head, your leader. And then you will be nourished, you'll be ministered to, and increase with the increase of God. You will receive His blessings. But the devil is always going to bring about some doctrine, some belief, some teaching that will lead you away from Christ into the bondage of a church or the bondage of a man or a system of religion. And there are the vast majority of Christians are in bondage today to the commandments and doctrines and traditions of men instead of being free in Christ Jesus. So this admonition here of Paul not to be beguiled and led away from Christ to these other things is so very needed today. And I pray that individuals will look up to Jesus so that they can live indeed, be set free by the truth, and not continue to be in bondage to any church or any man or any religion, but to be free in Jesus.
Well, I was thinking about what you were saying about people coming in, or I don't remember exactly what you were saying, but about claiming to be Christ or whatever. Something you said made me think about that verse in Matthew 24, verse 5, where Jesus said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And I heard a real good teaching on that. That I think may be what you were saying, and very true, that we need to take the literal meaning of the word Christ, Christos, which means anointed. So, you know, you said there's so many people who think they're anointed and you got to follow them. You know, they have all the truth and, you know, you got to follow this pastor or this Hollywood type pastor or this real famous pastor. I mean, he's anointed. So-and-so, he's got the truth, or, you know, and many are, and they're coming, you know, kind of putting that forward. They're not necessarily saying, I'm Christ, but their showcase ministry and sometimes the way they may preach seems to be saying that. But then, of course, as you well know, Brother Robert, you know, and I've studied a lot about the New Age too, because I actually left the Catholic Church for a while in my 20s and got into the New Age movement. Quite heavily, kind of, for a few years, but that I didn't get into that Maitreya person. I never even really heard of him, but of course he claims to be Christ, whoever that is. So he's actually saying, I'm Christ. So boy, you sure see the days are upon us now more than ever before in history of people saying indirectly or directly, I am Christ. And anyway, but we know, praise God, who the real Christ is, and he's found in the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, back in 1980, the Maitreya announced himself through the major newspapers. I mean, it was Benjamin Krim, who was the spokesman for the Maitreya, had bought front page ads in the major newspapers of the world at that time, proclaiming that the Maitreya is here and that he would show himself soon. Well, you know, that was 1980. And so if the Maitreya is still around after almost 40 years, he has yet to do any major thing to try and deceive the world into believing that he is the Christ. And they're very careful to say that he's not Jesus Christ, but he's the Christ. So not Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but the Christ. In other words, as you mentioned, the anointed. But you can have millions of people that are anointed, but not millions of people that are Jesus Christ of Nazareth in the flesh. So that's where they deceive individuals into believing that the Maitreya is the Christ. Come back. But he's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come back. So when individuals say that they're the Christ, or you can see Christ in the desert, or you can see Christ behind locked doors, don't believe them. But look up to the real Jesus Christ, who is your great high priest in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary right now, making atonement, cleansing you from all of your sins and unrighteousness so that you can be prepared for his second coming soon. But deceptions and beguilement is only going to get worse as we near the end. So hold on to the Savior as your head, your general, the true vine, and you will be safe. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. Amen. In him is safety. So let's open it up to a season of prayer. And any who would like to pray, please feel free to do so. And I'll go ahead and start. So let us please bow our heads and, if possible, our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for bringing us out of darkness and into thy marvelous light. Thank you for sending the truth down to us. And thank you, Savior, for leading and guiding us into the way of everlasting life and away from everlasting destruction. Father, I plead with thee to please pour your Spirit out upon us in rich abundance. And please, Spirit, keep us from being beguiled and deceived into any kind of belief or practice that leads away from Christ and from freedom in him. Give us wisdom and discernment from on high. And please break away any beliefs that we may already have that are keeping us from finding perfect freedom and rest in our Savior. cleanse us from all error, from all false doctrines, from all commandments and doctrines and traditions of men. Root it out of us and put in its place Jesus. Help us to understand more of the gospel of our salvation. Help us to rest more and more in our Savior and to be at His feet, learning more and more of Him and the truth that we so desperately need to keep us from the darkness. And thank you so much for doing so. I pray, dear Father, that you be with all of the people that have heard the truth, that have been witnessed to, especially those that are in the valley of decision on whether to follow it or not. Please be with them in a special way. Pour your Spirit upon them in rich abundance, and Spirit, open their understanding to see the pathway of truth. And then give them the grace and the strength and the courage to follow that truth, regardless of the consequences. And thank you so much for doing so. Be with Connie, dear Father, and open her understanding and bring back to her memory some of the things that were shared with her by our dear sister. And let her be curious about it and want to know more. And please prevent the devil from snatching away those precious seeds of truth. Father, be with all of our relatives, especially those that have yet to embrace the present truth. Please work upon their hearts. Help us to know what to do and what to say and when to say it, that will encourage them to want to investigate into the precious message of salvation and not rest content with where they are, whether that's in a church or in the world. Trouble their hearts. Give them no rest day or night until they take the time to study into the truth as it is in Christ. Thank you so much for doing so. We thank you, Father, for thy many and wonderful blessings. Thank you for your divine protection and the health that we have. Thank you for the ability to meet online with other brothers and sisters in the faith. Thank you, Father, for spreading thy truth and multiplying it and filling this dark world with your glory. Thank you for digging us out of the pit of destruction and planting our feet on the rock Christ Jesus. And please help us to become settled into the truth so that we cannot be moved. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Father, I want to thank you for this time that you've given us to come before you and to come together to pray. It is such a blessing. Thank you so much for it. And I pray for each one here and the needs, spiritual and any material needs. I pray that you would meet these needs and that you would give much grace and give wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to get hold of your grace and do your will and hear the Holy Spirit carefully and follow the Lord Jesus perfectly. But I pray for the needs on the hearts of all here, Lord, that have been spoken to us and that are unspoken. Watch over and keep, bless and protect each one, and help us to be ever going on in the faith, not taking your grace for granted, not resting on our lees, so to speak, not resting in where we are and forgetting that we need to go on every day, be striving. I pray your help in this way, that we not become comfortable, which is so easy to do, but you are faithful to shake us up in one way or another through circumstances or just in our hearts speaking to us through the word. And I thank you for that, that you are always bringing us on forward. You are so faithful to us. Help us to remember that in all of our trials, that you have that in mind to bring us on, because you know what lies ahead and you know where we need to be in order to have the victory in what lies ahead. And you know how we will feel if we don't have the victory in one thing or another. We'll feel terrible. We'll feel we've let you down. We've hurt others. Whenever we don't have the victory, the ramifications are so broad and so wide. And we're liable to be discouraged if we don't take the victories. Yet even then, you help us to know that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And we go on. What a blessing it is to have the victory and give all the glory to you and know that all we did was obey and follow. It was nothing of self in the victory. To you, dear Lord, to you, Father, to you, Lord Jesus, to you, Holy Spirit, be all the glory. And I pray for the shower coming up on Sunday. I pray that you would, that I would just walk with you and be filled with thy spirit and give glory to you in all that I say and do. And I'm trusting you for this. I want there to be a change where I am not rushing about to get ready. Or even in heart, even I've learned to not rush, but even my heart might be rushing. I don't even want my heart to rush, but that I might rest in you truly, completely. I'm asking for this grace and for this growth, and that I might then get hold of this and it become Christ in me in that area. And we all pray for these things, Lord, that our characters be molded into Christ. And I pray that for each one, that their character be molded into Christ. Just as much as I pray it for me, I pray it for my brothers and sisters. And I pray for those who are not here tonight, that you would watch over them and keep them. Keep this precious home church. And thank you for it. And Jesus, help us to follow you. Help us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you each day. And Holy Spirit, help us to listen and hear and hearken and receive your correction as you lead and guide, guiding us in all truth. And Father, thank you for your grace and that you love us, and help us to be always childlike and humble. I praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember all the prayers for all our lost loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, dear ones. Is there anything that you'd like to share? Any song that you'd like to sing or testimony that you'd like to give? Anything else that you'd like to bring forth before we close? And please feel free. Well, dear ones, we'll indeed be keeping you all in prayer, and we thank you so much and appreciate your prayers as well. Keep looking up. from where you find your strength and grace to continue forward. And I pray that God will continue to bless you in the latter part of this week and keep you safe until we're able to meet again in fellowship. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So may God bless you, dear ones, and keep looking up.